Hello, and welcome to the Frontier Strategy Group podcast series. FSG is the leading information services provider for emerging markets executives. We partner with business leaders at over 200 multinationals by providing them with the research, analytical tools, and data that helps power their emerging markets business strategies. The focus of today's podcast is a comparison of two of our largest emerging markets, Brazil and Russia. My name is Sam Osborne, and I'm the Senior Analyst of Global Analytics at Frontier Strategy Group. Joining me for today's conversation is Martina Bozagieva, head of our Central and Eastern European research team, and Christine Herlihy, an analyst on our Latin America research team. As a reminder, all of our content is available via our portal at portal.frontierstrategygroup.com. Please contact your FSG account manager if you've misplaced your login credentials. Martina, Christine, welcome.
Thank you, Sam. It's great to be here.
Thanks, Sam. Great to be here.
Guys, let's get right into it. We've seen a lot of slowdowns in some of the core emerging markets recently, particularly when we look at some of the capital outflows and currency devaluations in these markets. But I want to focus on Brazil and Russia in particular. It, on the surface, can appear to look like somewhat disparate trends, but I want to ask you guys to dig in a little bit deeper and to see what's really driving some of these slowdowns in the markets and what are some of the factors that our clients should be considering. So, Christine, I'd like to start with you. You know, what's happening in Brazil and why is the economy slowing down?
To start off, the slowdown in Brazil has both external and internal drivers. When you look at the external factors, you have to consider that a majority of Brazilian exports are essentially commodities. So you're talking about things like iron ore, petroleum, sugarcane, soybeans, and coffee. So basic agricultural and energy commodities. You look at who Brazil is exporting to, and you see that 16% of their exports are going to China, about 10% going to Argentina, and then another 10% to the U.S., and a little bit more than 15% to European countries. So obviously growth has slowed in all of these export markets, causing not only demand for Brazilian commodity exports, but also commodity prices globally to decline. When you look at the internal factors driving slowdown in Brazil, and this is really at the heart of the problem, there are some structural and then a bit more proximate causes. Brazil, structurally speaking, is not a competitive economy. Not only are taxes dramatically and really disproportionately impacting the cost of doing business for foreign multinationals, but they're distorting the business environment. Additionally, you look at things like corruption, a lack of adequate infrastructure and human capital. And on the supply side of the equation, there are a lot of factors that essentially are driving up inflation, driving up the cost of doing business, and decreasing efficiency. All of these things make Brazil's tradable sector uncompetitive on the global market. And when you look at the internal section of the economy, the service sector, if you will, the non-tradable sector, that sector in and of itself is not competitive either, and it's increasingly expensive. So that what that means for consumers is you see rising inflation, stagnant to declining purchasing power, and you see essentially an economy that's stagnating. The ability of credit to drive growth has really hit its limits, and Brazil has not been able to successfully transition to a more investment-heavy growth model.
Interesting. So it seems, you know, internally in Brazil, it's somewhat of a cost problem, and externally we see demand as well as being related to the slowing commodity prices. Martina, can you tell us a little bit about Russia and what the drivers are of its slowdown?
Yeah, I think what Christine described just as easily have been set for Russia, which is where this is very interesting. From Russia's perspective, their commodity exports for Russia have been impacted as it relates to metals. And also general exports of processed goods to European markets and to some extent to China. Energy exports haven't gone down that much, but you're actually at this point running against the inability of the domestic oil industry to increase output. One of the reasons why growth was so strong in the 2000s was because both global oil prices were increasing very rapidly, and also the domestic oil industry was actually increasing output very, very considerably by removing some inefficiencies that had built up after the end of the Soviet Union. Now, at this point, they have already caught up. And in that sense, the type of investment that would be required for Russian oil output to increase very significantly is extremely large. We're talking about very, very investment-heavy projects. And the Russian government has not really made those investments or committed to them. So you're seeing outputs in Russia's really main economic driver, energy, slowing down or stagnating. And then when you actually dig into some of the structural issues, they're very similar to Brazil. If we're talking about red tape, I'm sure any company that has ever done business in Russia will tell you that it's a bit of a nightmare there, given all the regulations and all the fast-changing requirements that the Russian government has. It definitely increases the cost of doing business, and in particularly so for small and medium enterprises who sometimes find it really difficult just to operate on a day-to-day basis. There's no need to describe the fact that there is corruption in Russia and that it's a huge inefficiency in how the entire private sector runs, as well as the public sector as well. You also have some infrastructure bottlenecks in Russia, which are increasing the cost of capturing a bigger piece of the market and also having competitive products exported from the country. So in Russia, inefficiencies, low labor productivity, and red tape are absolutely also reducing the competitiveness of Russian exports and also demand for investment. The main driver of Russia's very sharp slowdown has been a crash in investment growth. And that's the main factor that the Russian government needs to address, but it's also one that is very, very difficult to fix.
Yeah, Martina, it sounds like there are a lot of similarities, especially in regard to the cost of doing business. And we see this in other emerging markets as well. And, you know, I'm curious, we've talked a lot about the factors that are driving the slowdown, but I want to talk a little bit about both of your opinions on what the countries can do to remedy the situation. You know, we've talked a lot about some of the structural issues. You know, Christine, in your opinion, what factors do you think will help accelerate growth in Brazil?
To actually see stronger growth in Brazil that's in line with the economy's potential given its size, given the socioeconomic dynamics at play in the market, Brazil really does need to transition to investment on par with OECD countries, or at least with its regional peers. So right now you see gross fixed investment at about 18% of GDP. It needs to be at least 22 to 24% of GDP for Brazil to regain competitiveness. Now, interestingly, what you see in Brazil is the government's aware of the situation. They know that there are infrastructure and other supply-side bottlenecks. However, the political sort of reform that they would need to do to improve labor competitiveness and productivity is very unpalatable. It would require essentially reducing protection that workers currently have. And when you look at the party in power, the PT obviously derives the majority of their support from labor unions, which have historically benefited from the protections extended to workers, which make the economy inflexible. So that's difficult politically. However, when you look at what the government has tried to do, they've relied on one-off tax credits and stimulus measures to stimulate growth in certain sectors and bring down, for example, electricity costs. However, they haven't been transparent about this, and they haven't done a good job of signaling how and when these benefits will be extended. So as a result, you've actually seen investment at the aggregate level stagnate, as essentially businesses on a one-off level try and essentially hold out, waiting for the government to offer better terms down the line, because that's what they've shown themselves willing and able to do. Every time a certain action has not generated the requisite investment, they've come back with better terms. So obviously the rational response in that type of situation is to delay investment. And at a national level, that sort of delay in investment actually drags down consumer and business sentiment and has dragged down growth. So for Brazil to grow, it needs to invest in infrastructure, it needs to invest in human capital, it needs to invest in healthcare, and it needs to take the political steps to improve in productivity and efficiency of labor markets.
Martina, how do you see Russia coming out of its recent stagnating growth, and what do you think the factors are for a turnaround?
The factors for turnaround are largely up to political decisions, which is where this gets very difficult. And the reason is because what needs to happen for Russia to really make a leap in growth and go back to much faster GDP growth than we've seen right now, it would need to reduce the size of the public sector, which is absolutely overbloated and highly inefficient, tackle red tape in a way that actually makes it easier for businesses to do business rather than more difficult, so lowering the operational costs for businesses, and also it would need to tackle corruption in one way or another. They've said they're going to do it, they said they're doing it, but nothing is really significantly changing for companies that are operating on the ground. And this is where this becomes problematic, because all of these factors, in order for them to change, would require quite significant political change within the country. The government would need to take onto itself, if you will, especially as it relates to tackling corruption. I think there were some hopes that when Medvedev became president, this is what he was after with his modernization program. But now we see that this wasn't really something that was going to stay. And Putin's agenda seems to be very conservative. No significant change or deregulation of the market, no significant efforts to improve the efficiency lag in Russia is being made. And that is deeply disappointing to local businesses. I think last year companies were hoping that when Putin goes back to the presidency, he'll have a new agenda which will look at some reforms of the operating environment. But that didn't happen. And I think it had a absolutely significant impact on business confidence and on investment levels. I think a lot of what we're seeing, and Sammy mentioned it at the beginning with capital outflows, is that businesses just do not want to invest in themselves. They're worried that they will not be able to make a great return on their money, and they worry that some of that may be expropriated or they may be targeted by public officials, and they take their money out of the country. This is the capital outflow that is happening in Russia, and it's only accelerated in the past several years. We see dozens of billions of dollars leaving the country every year. So what would need to happen is a clear agenda that shows that the Russian government does actually understand the nature of the problem, and then actions that will convince businesses that actually the environment is improving and it's safer for them to bring their money back. None of this is happening. We're seeing the Russian government come out with actually budget spending cuts for next year. They're running up against their own limitations because revenues are falling as the economy is slowing down. And they're making a very, very small stimulus. Similarly to what Christine actually mentioned, they're reducing utility price increases for next year. That's the entire extent of their stimulus. This is what they're doing. And across other sectors of the economy, the government is actually doing a 5% budget cut for this year and for next. So we can't really expect any significant action on the part of the government to improve the situation.
Martina, you mentioned something important, and we're thinking about the capital outflows. It's important to remember that multinational companies are not portfolio investors. Most of them have a presence in these markets, and it's not as if they're going to pick up their plants, their people, and move them elsewhere due to the slowdown. So I'd like to talk a little bit about the implications of this slowdown for the strategic perspective of our executives operating in this market. Christine, what do you think about the recent slowdown and how companies that have made significant investments should incorporate that into their strategy?
So I think there's a couple points to bear in mind, Sam. For some of our companies that we work with that are new to market in Brazil, they're going to be pretty hard hit by the bottom line aspect of Custo Brasil. However, they're going to see top line growth remain relatively strong. And this is true for companies that are more mature as well, although obviously given the market penetration, the degree to which you're able to see high top line growth may stagnate over time. So the main issue, again, is going to be bottom line profitability. And what we see people considering doing is actually moving toward local production more so than has ever been the case in the past. This is a move that really rarely makes sense from a purely economic perspective, but you have to take into account that if, as you say, Sam, Brazil is a market that you intend to be in over the long term, which for most multinationals present in Latin America, that is absolutely the case, then it's a market in which you need to take the long view and look at, all right, yes, the costs of local production are high and, in fact, uncompetitive. However, this is a policy of the government, and protectionist measures, local content requirements, and the very complicated tax structure are going to be defining characteristics of the Brazilian operating environment for at least the next 2 to 3 and perhaps even 5 to 10 years. So if you're going to remain in the market, you need to counter these obstacles head on. Over the shorter term, one other thing to bear in mind is that we do expect the real to be relatively volatile. Obviously, the main driver is quantitative easing in the United States, so the move towards the Fed's taper will impact the exchange rate. And over the longer term, we expect a steady trend of depreciation. However, the real is unlikely to stabilize at rate of 2.5 to 2.7, which we've had people fearing that would be the case. We are expecting a stable equilibrium exchange rate of about 2.25 to 2.35 over, you can expect, the next 12 to 18 months.
Martina, and the implications for Russia?
Yeah, the implications for Russia are really strategic. And I think it's very important to first say that Russia is absolutely still one of the most important emerging markets for the majority of our clients. and its importance has actually increased since the beginning of the Eurozone crisis. So we're not really seeing companies pulling out of the market. If anything, we're seeing companies investing more in the market, just like Christine mentioned, in some ways through local manufacturing and in other strategies as well. But it's a question of expectations, and it's also a question of strategy. Now, on the expectations side, I think our clients are used to expecting Russia to grow very strongly, especially as compared with before the global financial crisis. It is highly unlikely that Russia is going to return to anything over 4% growth. And the IMF actually came out this year, this week, and said that it may be 3%, the maximum that the economy can sustain at this level of efficiency. So we could be talking about Russia growing at 2-3% in the next 3 to 5 years. That has significant implications for the targets that you're setting for the market, and also what it takes to actually get that 20% growth that you're expecting out of the market. Now, companies are getting 20%, 30% sometimes, depending on their level of maturity out of the market, but when the overall market growth slows and you're having more companies entering the market looking for extra growth, it means it's going to be a very competitive place. And the implications that this has for strategy are quite significant. One, you need to figure out a way to get around some of these problems. And that might require additional investment. For example, putting people on the ground, setting up a local office, maybe rationalizing your distributor network and getting more out of your existing channel partners. It could also mean regionalization. This is a big trend we're seeing in Russia. Companies looking to go outside of Moscow and St. Petersburg to expand the size of their addressable market and to capture market share. I think this is a trend that is only going to accelerate in the next several years. We are seeing companies considering very large fixed investments like local manufacturing as a way to really cement their position in the market and take as much out of the existing pie as they can. So it's going to become a bit more of a market share game rather than a pure sales growth game. And I think companies need to shift their thinking about the market along those lines.
Absolutely. And just listening to both of you describe the situations in both Brazil and Russia, I personally am surprised by the amount of similarities in terms of what the major challenges are, the structural solutions needed for growth. And I think this is a really good learning opportunity cross-regionally and something that many of our clients can also benefit from our peer-to-peer interactions, thinking about how, you know, executives across the globe are actually facing starkly similar challenges in terms of the operating business environment. So thank you both for the great insights, and we look forward to speaking to you about this and your next research reports. And as a reminder, you can access all of FSG's content on our portal at portal.frontierstrategygroup.com. This now concludes our podcast. We wish you great outperformance in your emerging markets.